I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, reporter Charles Robinson, and in for a trim for the first time, Time magazine reporter Brian Bennett. Ruben Navarrete seems to be getting his shape-up elsewhere this week. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks, sweetie. Yo, everybody.
Welcome to the shop. We're going to get phone calls today.
He's going to get a beat down.
And then that's true.
I'm sorry, Billy. I'm sorry. Anyway, gentlemen, let's keep
I'm sorry. He's apologizing to my husband for insulting me. Okay.
It's on.
He just put the cherry on top for
It's on.
Gentlemen, can we keep it moving, please? You know, Obama told Tennessee Republicans to lay off his wife after they posted an unflattering ad highlighting her comments about patriotism earlier this year. They posted it on YouTube. Busy Bee. Brian, I know you've seen it. What do you think? I think they're just desperate. What do you think?
I think that Michelle's fair game. I mean, if Obama gets elected to the White House, she's going to be representing the United States as well. And she's got to be able to take the heat, too.
See, Rob, back again for the first time.
Yeah, man. Look, here's the problem. If it's my wife, you're going to get a beat down, literally. I mean, you know, look, he said it very nicely. I said, don't mess with my wife. What he really wanted to say, sucker,
right.
If you want to go after my wife, you better come correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
What he really wanted to say.
But what about Brian's point?
Well,
is
she
fair? You can't stand the
heat. You know
what?
Look, did they go after Mrs. McCain? Because, mm-hmm, you know, I think she got a lot of issues, too.
Right.
It seems like a double standard to me. I'm sorry. To go after Michelle, you know, two things you don't want to mess with a sister about: her hair and whether or not her man is protecting her.
Mm-hmm.
You know it gave Obama an opportunity to stand up, and that's going to make him look stronger. I don't think that hurts. I don't think his response is wrong. But I think, you know, the Republicans are not going to hold any punches.
You know, Busy Bee, I got to agree with you. I do think Michelle is fair game. A-Train, do you agree?
She is, but I also think, like C-Rob, that Cindy McCain is fair game. And, you know, as someone who said that she's not going to release her tax records, you know, I mean, they're going chilling in private jets. You know, I think
she's
that...
She's kind of hot, too.
Well, the point is, I think that, you know, if there were ads taken out attacking Cindy McCain, I think we'd see the entire Republican apparatchik up in arms. You know, and you know, the same argument could be made that, you know, she's fair game also because, you know, her husband's running for president.
But I wonder about that. Is there a partisan difference here in that? Because, I mean, Hillary Clinton was certainly an issue when Bill Clinton ran for president the first time. And it was true that there was all kinds of interesting different dynamics in the sense of having a first lady who had an independent career, was the breadwinner, at this controversial and politically prominent law firm. I'm just wondering, but you don't tend to see Democrats attacking Republican spouses, and I just wonder.
I think
maybe I'm wrong,
but
why is
no,
that?
I think Democrats like to fight with their arms behind their backs, and that's the difference. And the Republicans are always willing to come out swinging and play dirty.
You know, Busy. You know what? I'm going to agree with that, but I'm also going to say, I think people are in bounds, but you got to play fair, certainly when it involves your woman. Now, you know, I mean, you can't put somebody else's woman in check for something they've said. Now that's just a rule of the playground. You know, and while Michelle may be fair game, I'm not sure. I'm leaning towards, you know, just leave her alone because, you know, because it's almost like they're trying to put her in check for something she said. And, you know, you really can't put your own woman in check, let alone the Tennessee Republicans trying to put your woman in check.
Oh,
I'm just going to put that out there. A-Train?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Jimmy. And let's not forget, you know, we have three candidates for president right now. We're not really talking about issues anymore. This has turned into some sort of like YouTube and Facebook campaign.
Is that our fault? I mean, we're not talking about energy policy.
Right.
We're not talking about environmental policy.
I think it is. No, absolutely, Michelle. I think you're absolutely right. And I think it is our fault because, you know, there isn't, you know, if it's sexy, it's going to run. If it bleeds, it leads. You know, anything that is going to, you know, conjure up any sort of controversy, you know, whether it's real or imagined, I think is something that,
right,
you know, the American public grasps onto.
But then to push against the other point, there are those who argue that people don't really vote on issues. They vote on character and culture.
Sure.
And
look,
by that standard, this is a cultural issue, right? I mean,
look,
Charles, I don't know.
This electorate has attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever we're talking about this week is irrelevant next week. And
right,
it will continue to be that way through this entire electoral process. And, you know, whatever we're talking about now is going to be irrelevant in November.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sexy Obama news, now there's a sentence you don't hear very often. Obama is apologizing these days for calling a female reporter sweetie. Now, C-Rob, I heard him, man. It didn't really occur to me as sexist. Was it sexist or was it kind of just kind of like endearing?
Look, you know, I've been known to call guys baby, you know, and I like, yo, baby, what's up? You know, we slip into vernacular. My wife likes to call it code switching. And we have a tendency to, you know, forget where we are sometimes. You know, here he is running a gauntlet and, you know, reporters yelling. And you go like, well, you can say, hold up. And he probably dropped into the vernacular. And, you mm-hmm. know, and that
So if he called you what's up, dog, from the press line, that'd be okay with you, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily call it okay, but let's put it this way. I would understand.
Man, I would love if Barack called
me
dog.
He owes me money. I would love if Barack called me dog. So he has to call me by my full name.
I thought he called everybody in the press corps, sweetie.
Right. You know, for the record, Patty Agar, the reporter in question, was not personally offended. Busy, get in here, man.
About Agar?
No, wait,
let me just stop you right there, because I feel that she can't afford to say that she's personally offended or not. If you're running for president, you're president all the time, right?
That's true.
And so it's unbecoming. I'm sorry.
If you look at intent, I don't think that it was meant. It was intended pejoratively. I don't think it was intended mm-hmm. condescendingly. I think it was intended endearingly. I think that, you know, Barack is a man of the people, and I think that, you know, whether he calls some, if he called me dog or whether he calls right. someone sweetie, I think that's something that's
a
endearing.
Well, I think
if you know what, A-Train. I mean, it's not uncommon for women to call me daddy, and you don't see me all up in arms, right? Oh. I mean, is it big daddy or just daddy?
I'm sorry. Well, this is item number 1037 of why Jimmy won't be president, right? But can I just say something though, guys? I think part of the reason we're talking about this, besides the fact that it just points up again the fact that when you're running for president, it's a whole other ballgame. But it feeds into a big conversation that we've been having this week about whether this campaign has been sexist or whether Hillary Clinton has been treated in a sexist fashion, particularly by the media and perhaps also by the Obama campaign. I don't know, Brian.
Yeah, I don't buy that Hillary's been disadvantaged because she's a woman in this campaign. I think she certainly made it an issue and used it to her advantage. But when you look at this, it's really been this magic dust that Obama's got that he's been able to sprinkle over the nation and launch this incredible internet fundraising apparatus. When Saturday Night Live came out and they lampooned the press, rightly for being too generous with Obama, there was Hillary to be able to jump on that right before the Texas primary and use it to her advantage. And she has been able to make it a talking point in her campaign and really rally women who feel like they've been sidelined for their careers or that they're not getting ahead because of their gender. And it's become a huge rallying cry for her. I think she's been smart
A-Train,
to use that.
Well, A-Train, you're on record as a Obama supporter. Mm-hmm. Do you buy the sexism argument?
Let's call a spade a spade. Hillary Clinton is now grasping at straws. After the Kentucky and Oregon primaries, Barack Obama reached a significant political milestone when he got the absolute majority of pledged delegates. And I think that Hillary needs to put down her own Kool-Aid and really look at, you know, what's best for the party and what's best for America.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Charles Robinson, Arsalan Iftikhar, and Brian Bennett. I just want to sort of throw this into the mix. There was this exchange on CNN the other day where this question of whether Hillary Clinton had been treated in a sexist fashion by whoever, you know, voters, the media, pundits, etc. And this is Republican strategist Alex Castellanos. And what started off was Jeffrey Toobin was saying that the B word has been used, rather, bandied about quite a bit in reference to Hillary Clinton. And this is what Alex Castellanos said in response. He said, you know, some women are. The term is appropriate for some women, and Hillary Clinton is aggressive, abrasive,
really?
And so forth. So I offer that into evidence of this conversation. Maybe she has a point.
I can't co-sign that.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
That's a real problem. I don't know to what extent sexism has played in this race, but call women out their names. You're wrong on every count, you know. But that said, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't want to fight like a girl. you know, and crying and whining at some point, then, like, you'll go ahead and get the bat with the nail in and start swinging the next minute. I mean, you really have to – you got to be every woman. You know what I'm saying? You just have to take that hit, you know, just live that life.
Let me say that
– go ahead, C-Rob.
One of the things that this campaign has shown us, especially for these two individuals, is they're in uncharted waters. In other words, mm-hmm. this will now define how campaigns are run in the future. You know, in other words, a woman has to be tough, but she has to be feminine. And I don't think we've been able to define what either one of those are. And thus, we get this, I don't think they're treating me right. Well, as we move ahead and other people try and do the same thing, they will use these as measuring sticks in which to campaign with.
All right. Well, speaking of moving ahead, let's talk about the 7 New York police officers involved in the fatal shooting of Sean Bell. They were acquitted a couple weeks back, but they face police department discipline this week. By contrast, 4 Philadelphia cops were fired for the severe beating of 3 suspects. Now, A-Train, you're the lawyer in the house. You're the JD.
Mm-hmm.
What is the burden of proof as it involves excessive force? Oh. I mean, school me.
Well, I mean, right now, you know, I think we're seeing a nationwide trend of cops gone wild. And, you know, both in the Sean Bell case and in the Philly case, you know, a lot has been brought into light about police procedure. What constitutes excessive police procedure? I think that is where the debate is going to lie, both in the Sean Bell case and in the Philly case, where we had a news copter on video capture Philadelphia police officers just pounding on 3 guys who they thought were suspects in a shooting. And Philly Police Chief Ramsey had said that the cops were under extreme stress recently because one of their own was killed in the line of duty and they were facing a lot of stress. And so these are all factors that are going to come into play.
That's
okay,
the thing. I mean,
Brian.
For the New York case, I'm okay with it being handled on a procedural basis because if you don't have criminal intent where these guys intended to kill somebody and they basically were bad cops and shouldn't have been discharging their weapon in that way, then you should deal with it on a procedural basis.
Can I ask a question, though?
Sure.
Does this imply that perhaps the prosecution should not have been brought, that perhaps it should always have been handled as an internal disciplinary
matter?
Absolutely not. I mean,
absolutely not.
Because, you know, in the New York case, you know, you have cops who are acquitted of criminal charges, and then the department, you know, in terms of its own internal investigation, brings its own departmental charges. What I hope from both these two tragic cases is that police departments around the country can revisit police procedure because, you know, things are tense in the cities. I mean, whether you go from New York to Chicago to L.A., mm-hmm. things are tense. And especially cities, you know, major cities that have minority police chiefs and other high officials in their police departments to revisit police procedure. You know, how do we make sure that Sean Bell's and, you know, the Philly case doesn't happen
but
again?
But is the issue that needs to be revisited procedure or training?
Or
is that the same thing?
Both. I think it's both. Yeah.
It's both.
You know what? Speaking of an impending beatdown, the L.A. Lakers take on the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, NBA.
In game 1 of the Western Conference playoffs this week. Now,
Kobe.
Yeah, Bynum's going to be out. He's got some kind of knee joint going on. See, Rob, how's that going to affect the Lakers going forward, man?
Look, we got the Phil Zen going on. We're talking about the triangle offense. I'm going to tell you, he doesn't lose many of these. But guess what? They're going to have a rough time because guess what? They got Parker. And, you know, I love his wife now, you know, even sitting in the stands.
What is
you know,
up? Is this wife day? Why is everybody
talking
about people's wives?
Let's talk ball. Let's talk ball.
Charles, what's Parker's first name?
Tony
Parker.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
With the hot wife. Okay, mental note. Kobe scored 25 of 27 points in the second half.
He needed 40
points in the first half and 25 in the second.
Gentlemen, let's not forget about the best team in the NBA this year, the Boston Celtics, who have survived. Hold on a second now. The Game 7 versus King LeBron James, who I have absolutely nothing bad to say about. He's gangster. 45
That's right.
against the 41 points put in by Paul, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Pierce. I'm telling you, KG, Paul Pierce and Ray Jesus, Shuttlesworth Allen, he's going to find his shot.
He's
and
cold, man.
He's going to find it, man. He's Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Is still pulling up his stripy green socks from the late 80s.
Jesus Shuttlesworth. He got game. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a Celtics-Lakers final again like the days of yore.
Busy B, wrap it up. What do you think?
I think Arsalan should take his Larry Bird poster down.
I got two of them, homie.
Two.
And with that, gentlemen, you know, this is your boy from 3 Points Out, and I got to say, it looks like a wrap to me. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to the shop. At this time, I have to hand it back over to the lady of the house, one, Michelle Martin.
Yeah. How can we never talk about hockey?
Come on, Michelle.
Let's go hockey.
Come on.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com. He joined us from WCPN in Cleveland. Here in our Washington studio are Arsalan Iftikhar, civil rights attorney and contributing editor for Islamica magazine, Brian Bennett, State Department bureau chief for Time magazine, and Charles Robinson, a reporter for Maryland Public Television and a regional director for the National Association of Black Journalists. Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Hey, see ya.
Happy to be here.
Yep.